onto the surface of the moon was made a little bit harder because the ladder to get down from the lander ended about this high above, about 3 feet above where he had to step down. They didn't want to build any lower rungs because they were afraid that that would get all crumpled when it landed on the surface of the moon. And 50 years ago last evening, that one small step that Neil Armstrong took from Apollo 11 onto the surface of the moon was indeed a giant leap forward. It was one of the most important steps of this era, at least the modern era, and it changed a lot of things. Now, it took almost 300,000 people working around the world to get to that point, to make that step possible. And with that one step, it was a step forward into the known, or from the unknown into the now known. Something that they didn't think could happen before, and now a whole new world of possibility was opened. What an incredible moment. I know that some of you witnessed it live. That was a clip from the movie that came out last year, First Man, and then they used some of the original footage, and they tried to stay true to the original. About 2,000 years ago, there was a small group of people gathered who witnessed an even greater step. As impressive as that is, 50 years ago. And this small group was a group that we just sang about a few moments ago. And that song that we sang describes this series of steps and this miraculous sign that we're going to look at today. We sang, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand." We've been going through the seven signs in the Gospel of John, and this week we're on our fifth sign. This is from the second part of John chapter 6. And the witnessing of these steps that we see in this sign open up for you and for me what is truly possible in the presence of Jesus as both the Lord of all, with all power, and the presence of Jesus as your Savior. These are steps that, as you learn and witness this sign of Jesus, will strengthen your faith. It will grow your faith even as you continue the harder work of following Jesus every single day. See, we're not called just to make one step. We're called to continue to step towards Jesus all the time. So let's explore this most important step. And just as a reminder, this is the sign that happens right after the feeding of the 5,000, which we talked about last week. And it's late in the evening, and the people have been sent home, and Jesus has gone up to pray. So let me read a little bit in just a minute. I just want to kind of share a picture with you. I shared this picture before. This was a boat. This was one of the boats that they found in 1986. This is a boat from the Sea of Galilee. I think I showed this about a year ago. And they only discovered it, it's about 2,000 years old, from the first century. They only discovered it because there was a drought and the sea had shrunk. And then in the mud, they found this boat that was there. And it would hold anywhere from maybe a dozen people or more. This was a standard fishing boat in that time. And the Sea of Galilee, as we said last week, just to kind of paint the picture for us a little bit, it's really more like a lake. You know, they call it a sea, but it's really more like a lake. And at its widest point, it's about 7 miles wide and about 12 miles long. And it is about 150 feet deep. But because it sits below sea level, 650 feet below sea level, you can understand that the hills that surround it make it feel a lot more impressive. The hills are steep. And it was not unusual for storms, for winds to come racing out of the hills, just like they do when they cross our hills here. And they come racing down, and they can make this large lake very dangerous. A third of Jesus' first disciples are from these shores. So this is a lake that they know about. They had grown up in this area. They even knew about the storms and its reputation. You can actually go on YouTube and watch a clip of some of the windstorms that appear on the Sea of Galilee today. They probably would be very similar back then. His disciples, who are going to be in this boat, they're no strangers to this. They're experts. Those of you that have gone out on the Delta when the winds come up and they post the warnings about small craft advisories, like, you know what it's like to be on a small boat when the winds start whipping up. Let me read these verses from John 6, starting in verse 16. It says, "That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon, a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles, somewhere out into the middle of that lake that we saw, when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, 'Don't be afraid. I am here.' Then they were eager to let him in the boat. And immediately," my favorite word in the Bible, "immediately, they arrived at their destination." When Jesus says, "I am here," and he says, "I am," that's the same word that God spoke at Mount Sinai when he revealed his name to his people. Jesus' essence, in essence, is saying, "I am," is here. God is here. In your midst, you got nothing to worry about. I've got everything under control. And in this short story, this short account of this sign of Jesus, there's just two things I want to point out this morning. And the first is related to what it means without Jesus. And it's without Jesus, we tend to take a certain kind of step. And I'm calling these shaky steps of fear and doubt. Another way of saying that is movement without progress. Sometimes we make a lot of wild actions. We make sudden movements. We busy ourselves to death, but we don't really make real progress. Do you think that these disciples, most of whom, or a good number of them, who were seasoned fisher folks of the Sea of Galilee, do you think they knew how to row? Do you think they had been on this, you know, grown up, and they knew how to do this? Do you think that they knew even how to navigate the storms that would come? Of course they would. They were seasoned boat folks who knew what they were doing. And yet, in this instance, they had gone and been rowing for hours and hours and had not made much progress at all. Shaky steps of fear and doubt. Movement without progress. We might say it's effort or exertion without direction. There's lots of ways that we could describe that movement. You know, when I actually looked in the dictionary for a list of words that kind of mean lack of progress, here's just a few: aimless, adrift, wandering, drifting, lost, purposeless, floating, directionless. Almost a lot of nautical words in there, too. That's just a sampling from a much longer list. Lack of progress. In reality, when this applies to us, when we're in that kind of grip of fear or doubt, whatever is going on in our life, this is when we take steps and we're more prone to missteps and make mistakes. And without Jesus, we struggle to make progress, just as those disciples struggle to make any kind of headway. When we fail to make progress, when we fail to move forward, what happens? Our focus slips. We start getting distracted by all the things around us. We focus on everything. These disciples are rowing and the storm comes up, and then they start to see everything around them. They see Jesus coming towards them. They don't know it's Jesus at first. They think he's a ghost. We would be scared too. Okay, we can't hold that against them. That would be pretty terrifying. And then they start to notice all of this storm, and it's just raging around them. And when our focus slips, we start to look around, and we take our eyes off of the one thing, or in our case, the one person who can save us in that moment. When you start to look around, think about when you're driving and your attention slips. You know, you've had those moments where suddenly you realize, oh, I've just driven 4 miles and I'm not sure where the time where I lost about 4 minutes. You know, your attention wandered. Well, think about this. You know, you see what's around us, and we start to see that more than the goal that we should be focusing on, and it prevents us from getting to where we want to go or doing what we want to do. And this can get dangerous real quick, because when we are distracted, we are prone to fear, and we start thinking about all the anxieties that we have and the troubles that are coming our way instead of the one who can save us. This is a piece of stone. I think I got it at as a white elephant gift at a party. I'm not sure why. I always liked it because it has this little sticker on it. It says "Made in Montana," but then I flipped it around and it's just a picture of Jesus walking on the water. It's like a, what do they call these? They're like bookends. They like hold books up. It's this good picture of Jesus. And yet it always seems a little bit too happy to me when I see pictures of what's happening in this instance. See, when Jesus comes, it's the middle of the night. It says around the fourth watch. That would be between 3 and 6 a.m., you know that you're not at your best at 3 or 6 a.m. And you wake up from sleep and you've had a bad dream, or you've had a night sweat or something. You wake up and you're a little unsettled and you're not sure what's going on. And then suddenly, this is the time that they see Jesus and they're afraid. When we fear, we tend to forget. We forget how God has cared for us in the past. And I know that many of you have shared stories with me, and you've shared stories amongst yourself about how God has cared for you. And yet, isn't it weird that when in those moments of stress and anxiety, we forget that? And we start to get anxious and we think, oh man, I'm not sure if God can do it again. I'm not sure if he can really help me. It almost feels like that's a piece of human nature. Something that we wish wasn't there, but it tends to be there all the time. And when that fear grips, the storms that we see become bigger. The monsters under our bed are scarier. The things that we are going through seem insurmountable. What seemed rational before, in the middle of the night, ain't so rational. It's terrifying. Like these fishermen on the lake, when the storm came and they saw that strange thing coming at them out of the sea, all that they saw, did, and experienced before with Jesus seemed to leave their brain immediately. See, what had they just experienced hours before? They had seen a few fish and a few tiny rolls, small loaves of bread, feed a crowd, thousands. They had seen the power of God displayed in amazing ways. And they had been there after just going out themselves and preaching and healing people with their own hands in the name of Jesus. They knew power. They knew the power that Jesus had, and yet there was something that kept them in that moment. This is what fear can do. You know this, because we all experience it. And this can make the next steps for you in your life uncertain. But I want to encourage you today, don't make a misstep by taking your eyes off of Jesus. Instead, don't have the experience where you take your eyes off of Christ and then you say, I'm going to go it my own way. There is only one direction that leads. It's under the water. And we will not survive when we take our eyes off of Christ. The only course correction in that moment that will work is to listen and accept the word that God speaks See, God speaks directly to our fears. And Jesus, when we read about his specific words, he knows what we fear. And this is what he says, "Don't be afraid. I am here." It's not a long sermon. It's not a complicated message. It's a very simple statement of truth. Do not be afraid. I am here. I want you to hear those words today. Take them into your heart. Because when these words, when spoken into your life, when you receive them, they are the words that can make all the difference and the only difference in your life. The difference between storm and calm. The difference between sinking or swimming. The difference between making complete progress and headway or remaining adrift, wondering what is going on in my life. Without Jesus or apart from his presence, we tend to take those shakier steps. And our walk is more prone to fear and doubt. You ever have that? You feel like you know what you're doing, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm just not sure, and you doubt yourself, and then suddenly you make a left turn, and you realize, man, I shouldn't have done that. Or you keep your eyes on Christ, whichever direction he's leading you, and you have confidence that you're going in the right direction. I want to read Matthew's account of this story for one reason. Matthew has a little bit longer version. He includes a few one extra encounter. This is, I think I listed this on the back of your bulletin. This is from Matthew 14. I'm going to read verses 22 through 33 for us. This is what Matthew writes. Immediately after this, so you know why I like it, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." Jesus said, "Yes, come." I love how simple that is. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. And he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is what happens with Jesus. With Jesus, we are invited to take a different kind of step. Steady steps of faith and trust. Without Jesus, shaky steps of fear and doubt. With Jesus, steady steps of faith and trust. This is not movement without progress. This is movement with a purpose, as Jesus calls out to you. When we stop looking at the storm or everything else that seeks to distract us, we begin to actually look at Jesus and to rely on him in those moments. Just as we said that looking everywhere else is aimless and causes us to become adrift, looking to Jesus leads to newfound faith. Here are some of the words: confidence, reliance, assurance, hope, conviction, and dependence on him. This is what following Jesus takes. It takes stepping out of the boat and then continuing to step, following him. You can see Peter had that initial step of faith. It took great faith and courage to step out of that boat. I'm not sure if I would have been able to do that or not. I mean, none of us probably would know for sure. And he did it until he saw everything else that was around him. And he got afraid and he began to sink. And that can be hard in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the struggles that you're going through, the storm that is raging around you, to have that faith to step one step closer to Jesus. And again, the only course correction that will work is the same as before, to listen and accept the word of the Lord that is spoken, because it is a word that speaks directly to our fear. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. For Peter, in that moment when the Lord says, "Yep, it's me," and then he invites him to now come. That first step is difficult, it's small, and yet it's still a giant leap. Something that we don't really know if we'd be able to do until we are in that moment. When the Lord says, "Come," then anything is truly possible. You might have been anxious before, but that next step is a steadied step of faith and trust. But here's the hard part. Like Peter, we're still prone to fear. And you can respond to Jesus in faith in one step and become fearful in the very next step. That's the reality. That step of faith does not mean that the storm magically disappears, that the struggle that you have is suddenly totally gone. If anything, it's you with Jesus in the midst of that storm saying, "I am here. Don't be afraid." Wherever we are, even when we're close to the presence of God, and sometimes it feels like this is most when it happens, when we feel the closest to God, even then, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we can begin to sink. See, taking our eyes or keeping our eyes on Jesus is something that requires our constant attention every single day. And yet we know we don't always do that. Looking to Jesus and listening to his voice doesn't end the storm. And I wouldn't say that to you today. I wouldn't want to blow smoke at you, because we live in a real world. And you can have both faith and an ongoing storm at the same time. All it does is reframe the steps that you are called to take. They may still be difficult steps. I know many of you are facing things right now. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will make headway as Jesus leads the way for you. Who's heard of the phrase helicopter parent? Everyone has. Who's heard of the newer phrase bulldozer parent? Anyone heard of bulldozer parenting? See, you know what a bulldozer is. It sort of clears the way. This is a new model that says, "I'm going to remove all the obstacles that are in front of my children or those people that are under my care, so that it's a smooth ride and they don't have to experience anything." Jesus is not that, and he does not do that. He does not clear away every obstacle. What he does is he reaches out his hand to you and says, "Let me lead the way for you. Let me help you know where to step so that you don't stumble and fall or sink." He calls out to you, and he responds to you. And if you're in the midst where you feel like today you are drowning, figuratively, all you have to do is say, "Jesus, save me." I love how in Matthew's version, when Peter says that, it says immediately Jesus reaches out to him. He doesn't say, "Man, let me give you an explanation of what you're doing wrong first. Then I might extend my hand to you." No, he doesn't do that at all. He responds immediately, and that's the good news for you and me today. He is the Savior who reaches out, grabs your hand, leads you through the storm, and guides you so you don't crash and drive yourself apart on the rocks. What it requires is staying fixed on his presence, listening to his guiding word. And then, and this is the hardest step of all, whatever God says, to say, "Yes, Lord." When we heard Neil Armstrong's famous words from the moon, the step that comes next when he steps out onto that moon soil, it's a step to remember. And if you watch the full video, some multiple hours worth, you'll see that that first step off the ladder was probably more difficult than the step onto the moon. The step onto the moon is the one everyone remembers. And when you're called to make a giant step, a giant leap, you're going to be surrounded by a range of great feelings. There's going to be fear and uncertainty and excitement, hope, maybe wonder, or even that kind of butterfly feeling that you get sometimes when you're nervous. "Yes, Lord," is both a small step and a giant leap when that's what God has in store for you. It's a profound step of faith. This morning, in this moment, what step is Jesus inviting you to take? What is that voice that says, "Today, this is the step that I have in store for you," or tomorrow? Or in this season of your life, or in the upcoming season of your life. Friends, as you look to Jesus and listen for his voice, may your next steps change you. May they change the direction of your life forever as you keep your eyes upon Christ. As we pray now, we're going to ask Christ for his ever-present help, to guide us forward as you take one more step to follow him in faith. So will you pray with me? God, I want to pray for this group that you've gathered here by your Spirit. Help us to take your hand, to steady us, to help us walk on sure footing. Help us to be able to trust you even more. Remind us that your presence, you are here. You are always with us. May we turn our eyes upon you now and then in the days to come. Lord, the word that you have for each person this morning, may it be clear, may it be bold, and may you give us the courage to say, "Yes, Lord." For it is in your name, O Jesus, that we pray. Amen.